Hallo?
Hallo.
Es ist mich.
Hallo. Wem ist das?
Ich habe mich gefragt, ob Sie sich nach all diesen Jahren treffen möchten. Alles übergehen.
Wie komme ich
Sie.
am besten zum Bahnhof, bitte?
Sie sagen, dass die Zeit soll dich heilen, aber ich habe nicht viel Heilung gemacht. Hallo, kannst du mich hören?
Ja.
Ich bin in Kalifornien gekommen, wer wir vier waren, als wir junge waren und frei waren. Ich
Als das Kind war? Hallo?
Habe vergessen, wie es sich anfühlt hat, bevor die Welt zu unseren Füßen fiel. Es gibt uns einen Unterschied zwischen uns und 1 Million Meilen. Hallo?
Hallo?
Von der anderen Seite?
Have no words.
Ich muss draußen mal angerufen haben, um dir sagen, tut es mir leid für alles, was ich gehabt habe. Aber wenn ich dich anrufe, scheinst du die nie zu Hause zu sein. Hallo?
It's way too early for this.
It's never too early for the German translation of Adele's huge hit, Hallo.
That's what was happening.
Yeah.
I wasn't quite there. Good morning.
Morning. We are in Berlin.
Almost.
Almost. We were in Berlin.
We were. I feel like I ate ham and cheese solidly for a week.
And mayo. So much mayo.
Oh, so much. Why? I don't even like mayo, and it was in everything. I mean, to be fair, it's not just Germany. Can we just declare like a ban? There is no more mayonnaise on this podcast ever.
That may be a problem.
Mayo be a problem?
It may be a problem. Because come summer, I don't know if we can have the tasting episode in summer, but anywho, shrimp and mayo will be a thing.
Can I just have the shrimp?
Anywho, why aren't we in Berlin recording this?
Well, we tried and we recorded an entire episode. Well, we recorded half an episode and then the recording equipment failed and then we carried on, recorded the second half of the episode. And then our sound guy, who's kind of prissy about this stuff, said, "Yeah, the quality of this episode, guys, is not going to cut it. You're going to have to record it again."
Screw him.
Right.
Yeah, so it's entirely on me because my microphone in my sort of fancy guerrilla podcasts setup didn't work. So we got you pretty well, but on my side it was mostly sounds from the hotel kitchen or something. And yeah, I guess I saved our audience some audio pain.
Pretty bad lift music also. Like the whole lobby music the whole time was it's pretty cheesy.
So this is the episode where we complain about Berlin.
No. This is the episode where we talk about how awesome Germany was. Right?
Yeah, it is. I guess we just had to get those things out of the way.
Right.
It's mostly bitterness due to the fact that we recorded an episode which you will never hear that episode. It will be in the episode hidden archives or something.
Right, we'll release it on vinyl, a very, very exclusive run. Yeah, when we've made it big. When is that?
I think next week or something.
Sure. Hi, have we gone viral yet? I can't tell. I feel a little bit viral. I apologize for my croakiness this morning.
If we are not viral, we are at least a part of the Norwegian zeitgeist.
Right.
Because someone keeps ripping off us off. Someone's stealing our plotline. Or subplotline, or sideplotline, I don't know. But yeah.
Well, not just anyone. So, first of all, we're cool in Scum again. We're on the ball with Scum again. We're setting the agenda for Scum, for stuff that happens in the background. Okay, we're not really writing the plot yet, but we're working on that. My internet's just stopped working, so maybe you can drive this one.
Oh, we didn't add it to the notes, as I can see. But yeah, anywho, frequent listener Mark Gould, right?
Right, pretty sure.
He tipped us about this. We cannot recap all of Scum, but there's this crew of comrades, friends, dudes.
Comrades makes it sound so sociable. Sociable? Oh, God. I can't even function. Socialist.
let's just post the link in the show notes, and people can check it out. But it has something to do with fairy tales and translating them.
Right. Anyway, we were there first, covering it.
Yeah. So to sum up, carrots, fairy tales, any more?
Political parties.
Yeah, political parties.
Yeah. So I have apparently lost the ability to click on the internet. But if I could click on things on the internet, then I'd be looking at r.no, where they would be saying, "Vi kjemper for et samfunn med små forskjeller."
Yeah, you care to translate that?
We're fighting for a society with small differences.
Indeed we are. So we are backed by the Communist Party.
Right. Is that good?
Depends on the next election, I guess.
Okay. We missed Eurovision. We were so busy enjoying Europe.
Yeah. Is Eurovision a big thing in the UK?
Do you know, that's really hard to answer well, because I don't know. I've only ever had my experience. My experience is that I get on Twitter and everybody live tweets it. It's a very kind of enjoyable shared experience. But I don't know how many people actually watch it. It's a reasonably big deal, I guess. How about in Norway?
It's a huge deal. Especially when we win.
When was the last time Norway won? Genuine question, not trolling.
That would be Alexander... Oh, a heuristic... availability heuristic klaxon going off. So the last time we won were with Alexander Rybak and the song Fairytale.
I'm sorry to say, I cannot place that in time. I have not watched every single year.
Play the fiddle. Or violin. Violin, what's the difference between a fiddle and a violin?
Is this a joke? I feel like there's a great punchline at the end of this. Yeah, I got nothing. I guess if you play violin, you're more likely to play classical. If you play fiddle, you're more likely to play folk music. That's probably the simplest distinction.
I knew that was the last time we won, and before that, I guess it was Nocturne, and that was entirely instrumental, I guess.
Wow, that must have been a while ago.
That was in the 90s, I guess.
I don't think I was watching Eurovision in the 90s. I feel I missed out.
And because you mentioned Twitter, and a at least in Norway, Eurovision Song Contest or Melody Grand Prix, as it was previously called, has been a yearly almost holiday for ages.
I need to pick you up on the name. I spent a good 20 minutes being told how it's called Melody Grand Prix by two of our colleagues.
Yeah.
Over dinner in Berlin. It's not Eurovision, it's Melody Grand Prix. Which is it? You said previously called. Have they rebranded?
I have to check up on the history now, but at least in Norway, it was called Melody Grand Prix up to a point where where it was changed to Eurovision Song Contest.
But what's it always been called in Norway, or has that changed as well?
Well, what I said. So in Norway, we called it Melody Grand Prix, and we adopted the Eurovision at some time.
Hmm. You should tell our colleagues.
But, yeah. I perhaps should.
Couldn't you just have some kind of public service announcement? I think what I like about Melody Grand Prix is it sounds even more European and really retro.
Yeah.
I'm bracketing it in the same sort of bundle as Hit Parade.
Hmm.
Were you satisfied with the outcome of Eurovision this year, to cut to the chase? Did you see any of the Eurovision entries?
I didn't. But this is in line of me being a poor representative of Norwegian culture, at least in embodiment.
Right.
No, I didn't. So, but it is a fun thing to watch in with your friends or in a crowd.
Right.
Because it is entirely its own thing.
I can't think of anything to compare it with. And how much of the watching in Norway? So. In the UK, sometimes there's betting on the outcome. You know, like people sort of, you get the first round and then everyone has to go through and say, okay, well, I think it's going to be like 1, 2, 3 or whatever and call the top three. But there's also, obviously, there's a lot of jeering because some of the entries are genuinely terrible. Does that sound familiar? Is that kind of the Eurovision experience in Norway?
Yeah, it is. But in Norway, it's more about you giving your own points, so you'll be your own judge of how you feel it should turn out.
Right.
So it's not so much about the betting, but yeah.
You want to feel like you can call the winner early on.
Yeah, and people print out his sheets and give points and so on.
Your homework for next week is to watch the winning entry, which I would never have picked out. Which just goes to show the randomness.
Okay, I will then. Should we return to Deutschland?
I don't think we left.
Yes, so this will be a retrospective. And first of all, are you sober yet?
Just about. I drank more alcohol last week than I would usually. How about you?
I think I drank more alcohol last week than I have done in a year.
Wow.
And that says more about the year than the week, I guess. But
And how did you do for sleep?
There were some.
Okay.
It happened.
You guess.
If someone hadn't dragged me up to do a podcast episode early in the morning.
In the spirit of a retrospective, we should probably start by saying that everybody did the most German they could at the time with the information they had available. I don't know, how was your week?
In Berlin?
In Berlin.
It was quite good, actually. quite intense in terms of what we worked with down there.
Should we say a bit about what we did?
Should we give this some context?
I think so. I think so. Otherwise, it's just like me and you went to Berlin for a week, which is kind of random.
So you and me and the rest of the 70 employees of Netlab Research went to Berlin.
Right.
Everyone, almost.
I'm pretty impressed by the logistics, actually, of just getting 70-odd people, some of whom are more odd than those, to Berlin, and getting them a hotel and a place to work together and managing to make sure that those things are only 3 minutes away from each other and organising bike rental for everybody. And I think that's like a logistical achievement in itself.
Yeah, we should mention that we have an awesome colleague, Masta.
Right.
And she did it, I guess it, perhaps not fair to say that she did it all by herself, but she pretty much did it all by herself.
She was in charge of pretty much all of the stuff I just mentioned, and she nailed it.
Indeed. And and I guess we did, it was Innovation Week. Let's just admit that.
Is that a dirty word? Is that a thing we're not supposed to say?
Yeah, but we are too cool for dabbling in innovation and disruption and all that jizz. But
can we make that our new company slogan? Too cool for innovation.
Yeah, something like that.
Right.
We did a Google Sprint. Post-it notes and whiteboards and drones and all. Yeah.
Yeah. It was pretty cool. It was super intense, though, like very, very intensive. And even more so because all day working with people very closely and then all evening eating and drinking with people, often quite closely. So, very intensive.
I also learned that we have people in our company are pretty decent. There were I can't really say that there were any, people behaved.
I'm now really wondering what you expected to happen.
Yeah, but do you have this impression that when companies go out to abroad and have Christmas tables and so on, there will be some controversies or people doing the stuff they shouldn't do, perhaps, and so on. Someone telling off the boss, someone living out subdued. My brain doesn't work today.
I don't think we had any of that.
No.
I think the most that happened was some people stayed up quite late, drinking and possibly dancing. Are we boring?
I think we are.
Okay. I'm cool with that.
Yeah. You're so boring that we had the sort of last formal night or evening as a series of presentations about pretty worky work things.
Yeah, but then it degenerated into pizza and drinking and, you know.
Yeah.
So...
Berlin is also awesome city, by the way.
So good. What did you like best about it? Wait, history, context. Have you been there before?
No. First time.
Oh, really? Okay.
Not first time in Germany, first time in Berlin. Mm.
Okay, impressions, go.
It is a pretty green city. Lots of gardens, trees, so on. It also, I don't know if it particularly stands out as a bicycle city, but it was pretty easy to get around.
Right. I don't think it's necessarily famous for being a bicycle city, but it should be. Everybody got bikes. Pretty much everyone cycled at some point, I think. And I think everybody loved the cycling. My impression was that that was one of the highlights for a lot of people, was just cycling around the city It certainly was for me. I thought it was amazing. It's pretty flat, so it's very easy to ride around. And the cycle provision is, apparently it's much improved. I've been to Berlin before, but I didn't really notice the cycling provision, but they have a lot of cycle lanes on the roads now, which is great.
Yeah, and the traffic, it seldom felt unsafe. So the cars were pretty hensynsfull.
Considerate.
Yeah. Ordnung.
Yeah, we should talk about Ordnung. Was there more Ordnung, about the same amount of Ordnung, less Ordnung than you expected? War alles in Ordnung? Was? I can't even. Yeah.
Yeah. It is easy to project, of course, but it seemed that people generally didn't jaywalk. I saw some cyclists, however, cycling on red.
Were they our colleagues?
No, amongst the natives.
Right.
Because they knew this crossing. They knew. They had it sort of, yeah.
But yeah, they're pretty strict on jaywalking, right?
Yeah.
I think I took issue with you, I think possibly when we recorded the abortive episode of this podcast, because I think you were like, oh, there's a lot of Ordnung, and we talked quite a lot about how your German friends would be really good interaction designers, which you can unpack it again if you want in a moment.
So I guess I didn't interact with many Germans in Berlin. Even when late one evening we were looking for some night food, and we found this random entry on the internet that said that this place has Germany's best kebab.
I don't think it was random at all. Robin was making very active use of Foursquare or Swarm
It sounds but more cool.
Okay, it was totally random.
Yeah,
in the neighborhood.
Serendipity, right?
Right.
And for some mysterious reason, the person behind the counter, I think he had Norwegian parents or something.
Or grandparents, yeah.
But he began to speak in Norwegian.
Right, because we were all speaking Norwegian.
Yeah, which was... It was cool.
It was deeply unexpected, right?
Yeah. And it could have been embarrassing.
I guess. You think we'd go around saying things that we don't want to be understood?
Yep.
Well, with notable exception to the American guy who was mansplaining pretty heavily.
Yeah, but weren't part of his crew also Norwegian or something?
So you told me. I couldn't hear them, but yeah, you said to me they were. He didn't sound it, though.
No, he wasn't.
I think they were talking in English for his benefit. But yeah, this kind of gets into a thing that I found totally fascinating last week, right? Which is, I've never been someone who wasn't quote-unquote British in Germany before. Or really, indeed, abroad. Because I walked around the whole week talking Norwegian with a bunch of Norwegians. And to most Germans, I assume I pass for Norwegian. And I got to be not British in a foreign country. It was sweet.
It was sweet. Why?
Because it was different. Because when you walk around in Germany as an English speaker and you're talking in English, everyone can understand you. And you're very visibly an English language speaker. Like, it's easily recognizable. It's not hard for people to nail you as being British specifically, as opposed to, say, American. So it makes you very identifiable and very kind of, oh, it's a British person. No big. There's lots of British people in Berlin and Germany and wherever. And it was really fun to be something a bit more niche. Can I call the entire country of people here niche?
It sounds like a very British thing to say, at least.
I just found it fascinating.
This little country, this little niche country. We didn't even notice
it. Well, one doesn't... Yes, I noticed your country. It's nice and niche. Yeah, it was fascinating to be from somewhere, quote-unquote, from somewhere else.
Can I have it because with I've my biscuits? Because I've never done that. No, huh? Yeah.
What? yeah, it was just a really novel experience for me to be foreign to somewhere, but not a British person being foreign there.
Do you think a British person is less foreign than other persons abroad?
I think they're way more easily recognisable, categorisable, easier to spot, easier to understand. Oh, there's a person speaking English and I can understand everything they say. You know, like most Germans, I imagine under the age of about 50 are probably pretty decent English speakers. Maybe not quite as good as in Scandinavia, but close. I don't know, it was really interesting trying on being from somewhere else. I enjoyed it. I've never felt more Norwegian, is what I'm saying.
Just because of the language, or have you adopted some Norwegian behaviour as well?
You're going to have to tell me that. I have no idea. How would I know? Apart from saying a lot in conversation.
Yeah, I guess also in the lost episode from Berlin. I guess some of our small differences can try to go to Berlin to find it.
A pilgrimage.
Yeah. But we also talked about my view on Germany.
Yeah. Go.
Now let me tell you about my view on Germany. No, but yeah. I think it perhaps turned out a bit apologetic, but it is because I have tried to be witty about Germany and Germans on previous episodes. Because it is a thing, I guess. Should we mention the war?
I think we should.
Yeah. War is mentioned. The war. The second. Or both of them. Mostly the second, I guess.
But like, the reason, yeah, the thing that we talked about, if I can kind of try and unearth it, God, this is the archaeology episode, was a little bit that, like, it's this recurring meme, right? Like, across Europe, don't mention the war, or do mention the war, or every time Germany comes up, mention the war. It's really painful. It's really painful. It's the sort of thing that I really struggle with. And it's the thing that you joke about, and maybe it's okay to joke about it from your perspective, I don't know. I find it uncomfortable, because in the UK, lots of people joke about it in a way that seems to be completely unreconstructed. No post-war, pun intended, but like, really without thought. Let's make a joke about Germany and the war, because haha, Germany, the war. It's horrible. Yeah.
Because I think this perhaps will sound a bit douchey, but I think I think more as a comedian. Here is something that obviously has a bit of tension or is a bit outside the politically. This is difficult. This is complex. Is it politically correct or incorrect to joke about Germany? I guess it was...
Yes, and?
And to me, at least, it feels... I'm with you. It feels a bit... Not forbidden, but it feels a bit wrong to joke about it. Or to rehearse the stereotypes about Germans. And because it feels a bit wrong, it's interesting to do it.
Okay, so yeah. You... pick at it like a scab.
Good picture, I guess. But yeah, or perhaps a bit tease you because you have these reactions. Yeah.
Oh, it's about me. Okay, right.
But also, I guess it's time for Norway as well to deal with how we dealt with the post-war era.
Quick summing up for the historically naive, I guess. What happened?
We were occupied by the Third Reich. Or the Dritte Reich, I guess. Yeah.
That's a nasty pun in Norwegian.
Yep. And, yeah. And it was for 5 years. We definitely didn't have it worse, but it was pretty bad for many people. But of course, it had made a huge impression on the Norwegian identity, and I guess, yeah, mentality even perhaps.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And how did that manifest after the war? Actually, what happened immediately after the war? And then, like, what's the kind of the long tail of World War II in Norway? How does it look?
That's an unfair question.
Yeah, sorry, could you just, like, casually summarise that at 7:30 in the morning for our listeners in a soundbite of lasting no more than about 45 seconds? Is that cool?
I feel I'm back in school.
I'm sorry. Why haven't you done your homework, Melvar?
I did it years ago.
Touché.
But what would you like to know, or what?
Well,
what kind of hangers do you need?
Sure. So we talked in the last episode, which is now rapidly assuming mythical status, certainly in my head. We talked a little bit about the fact that after the war there were ramifications for people who'd collaborated with the Germans, but they also left behind, you know, like, I guess, partners, willing or otherwise, and children. And so there's this sort of heritage of the Germans having been here.
Yeah. So the thing is that the occupation of Norway there were not many sort of armed confrontations and so on. There were a resistance movement, and they did attack German targets, but generally I think it was pretty peaceful. So we were under German control and so on. And of course, 5 years, I guess the everyday life also settles in, even in an occupied country.
Well, you have to normalize it, right? Otherwise you'll just lose your mind.
And some people, because German soldiers, they were people too. And that's perhaps a strange image. Not perhaps so much anymore, but they have always been drawn as these enemies, these faceless, evil monsters, right? But they were people, they were young people.
Sure.
And
younger than us.
Yeah. This is not the episode where I excuse Nazism and so on. But yeah. So Norwegians and German soldiers and all other German people became friends, they became lovers and so on. And this was not okay after the occupation ended. So there was quite a lot of stigma on those people that had even befriended a German, or, as you said, had a child with some of them, or children with some of them. So, yeah. And especially the women got it bad, I guess. Some of them were dragged out in the streets, they cut their hair. And, yeah, threw them out of the neighborhoods. And I guess the children also got it bad for being born, for choosing their parents, right?
Right.
So, yeah.
And to what extent do you think this picture kind of persists today? Like, there's very few people who remember that, I guess, who are still alive. But is there some kind of societal memory of this? Has it mostly gone away? What's it look like if it occurs?
So when I went to elementary school, my teacher, she had the first-hand experience of the occupation. So she were pretty young back then. But having lived through the war, but also have lived with people that very much lived through the war, the account were pretty... it was pretty detailed, and we learned a lot about that time and the war times and so on.
How old when you were learning about this, by the way?
It was like 8-9 years old.
So quite impressionable, I guess.
Yeah. So the war, it was a pretty living thing, and also there were yearly on the day where Norway was freed, the 8th of May. There were these events and so on. It has been pretty salient.
Mm.
Of course, also World War II, it is pretty a salient thing in popular culture.
Right.
So.
Is it a thing that people joke about still in Norway? When I say joke about, like, make references to...
the war?
Yeah, like, you know, if Germany comes up in conversation, is the war like a natural conclusion of that conversation? Or it happens way too frequently in the UK that is the case.
I think less and less, actually. And my parents' generation and perhaps more the generation before that, they were still pretty bitter about it.
Mm.
They even gave the Swedish flak for having... for not taking a side, right?
Right.
Yeah. So, yeah.
Hmm.
But I guess that mentality, you won't find that as much, in my generation. Because now we have started to look more critically, I guess, on the time. And as I just mentioned, even saying that German soldiers were people too, it's not that many years ago that was perhaps not that kosher to say. Or
awkward choice of word.
I guess, but...
Yeah. I don't know. I feel like young people in the UK are probably very much the same. They're probably much more kind of international in outlook. And as far as I can tell, more European in outlook. At the same time, you look across the pond to what's happening in the US at the moment, and you're like, might have been a bit too long since people took fascism seriously.
Hmm.
I have no desire to repeat that learning experience, but we seem some of the way there. For a bit of balance, we should probably point out, and I think we did this in the episode that will not air, that Germany has done an astoundingly good job of steering Europe as the kind of a loose federation, I guess, of countries. It's kind of holding everything together Angela Merkel is kind of holding everything together. And Germany's behaviour post-war to try and, like, right the wrongs and create a society where that sort of thing could not happen again is just, like, beyond reproach. And a thing that occurred to me only while we were talking about it last time was, I wish Britain had done something like that. Like, Britain didn't need to because it was on the winning side. And so no one, I guess, thought to say, well, let's, you know, I'm sure everyone was like, well, fascism must never happen again. But I wish they had thought to curate a little bit more thoughtfully the responses that came from the British public about what happened in the war and about Germany, because Germany's reputation in Britain among many people is not great still. And I think that comes across in the way that many British people talk carelessly about Germans, about the war. And I wish we had thought more carefully about the legacy of World War II from our side.
It's not too late, I guess.
Yeah, it's never too late. I think young people will kind of... I think this will grow out. I think it will die out. But as I said, I'm a little bit worried about what other knowledge will be lost with that.
Yeah. And to return to my jokes about Germans, which I think I will perhaps refrain from doing after this episode.
Okay.
Now I built a pipe. What's going to happen in a billion episode? And, well, I don't need to do that anymore. So, yeah. Because having been in the academy, I have worked with not a lot, but some Germans. And without exception, they were good people. And perhaps not because they were German, because generally people are pretty good all over the place. But yeah. It's hard to not essentialize or, yeah. Anywho. And yeah, there's much to like with the country. As I said, Berlin were fantastic. And what I also noticed in Berlin were that, well, quite a lot of range of people in places. They were pretty mixed, from young to old, to different cultural backgrounds and so on.
Yeah, it feels like a world city,
yeah,
properly.
And this, in comparison to perhaps other European large cities.
For example?
Like Paris, even Oslo, I would guess. Because you had, first time people were outside, they were just hanging around in parks and enjoying themselves in the sun. And yeah, the range, from children to old people to, yeah.
It's true, there are some cities where you don't see a lot of old people, like London. Outside of the extreme tourist spots, it seems quite rare in central London to see someone who's sort of over 60. And I sort of wonder sometimes, is this because they've all been run over by buses or otherwise trampled by hordes of people? And Berlin feels way more accommodating in that way. It feels way friendlier. It's very chilled. Like, Oslo is a fantastically chilled capital city, as is Stockholm for that matter. But I was surprised by Berlin, which is maybe more about the size of London, so rather bigger. And it's still, I've been before, but I think I was surprised again by how laid back it is on the whole.
Yeah, it didn't feel stressful at all.
No.
Yeah.
What other typical German experiences did you have, other than, I guess, walking around, cycling, eating ham and cheese.
I was just about to say eating ham and cheese.
Right. I really missed fish by the time we got back.
Yeah, me as well. I guess the last thing I will mention is perhaps the Ballhaus felt pretty German.
Right.
Loud, but also free, in a way.
Say more. Can you describe this place for...
So this is a pretty old establishment. Is there such a thing as a ball house?
Ballroom.
Ballroom. A ball house is a building consisting of several ballrooms. Right?
I guess. Sure, sure.
No,
it could
is.
Be that. Ballroom sounds like something else. Now that I consider it for the first time as a native speaker, I'm realizing what ballroom might be if it wasn't. A place, right, this is we're talking about a place where people go to dance. And
at least I talked about a place where people going to dance. I don't
right.
know what you were talking about.
My brain has gone somewhere else, but I'm focusing. I'm refocusing. Okay, we went to a place. It was loud.
Yeah.
People dance there to all kinds of things.
All kinds of things, and again, all kinds of people.
I know. There was an old guy who had to be at least 80, like grooving on the dance floor to ABBA and to other things, more recent and older. It was cool.
Yeah, and it proved that, I guess, Norwegians are more refrained than
Germans?
Restrained. German? Restrained, yeah.
Because?
A select of our Norwegian crew seemed embarrassed by the scene.
Yeah, I
just
didn't
to
get
call
that.
Some of our colleagues out there, but yeah.
I didn't get that.
That
at
being
all.
Said, some of our crew were pretty not restrained at all.
Fair.
So yeah.
If you want Norwegians to dance, play ABBA. It turns out.
Yeah, someone was too cool for school. I guess. Yeah.
I thought that kind of exemplified really nicely that I don't know a thing I noticed in Berlin a lot is people just like doing their thing, and it's not ageist at all. Like I saw punks in their 60s in Berlin. It seems to be a place where people can just be themselves and not worry about appearances and just get on with nerding out or grooving out or whatever they want to do, and that was kind of in evidence at the Ballhaus, and that was really nice. Even if it was tremendously too loud.
I just realized that our gripes are not over. Germany can still grow. Germany has potential. And
to
the
be
two
better.
Things. The two things. This is the official statement of Small Differences.
Right.
You have to stop smoking.
Oh my
Please,
God.
Germans, don't kill yourself.
So smoky. In bars.
Inside.
Why would people smoke indoors in a bar? Why? Why would they do this?
You are the country of rationality and logic and, yeah.
Considerate socialism and what gives with the smoking in bars. That was horrible. It was actually, it was quite shocking the first time this happened. A bunch of us tried to walk into a bar. And we walked and we got hit by this wall of smoke.
Punchline. Oh, okay.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, seven Norwegians walk into a bar. Yeah. Actually, the punchline is probably something to do with the cost.
And then they died of cancer.
Yeah. Yeah, it's funny we're in Norwegian. It's not funny we're in Norwegian.
It's
yeah, it
even
horrible.
Funnier in German. I'm sorry. Anywho.
Yeah, it
also,
was just shocking. Also,
cash.
So many places were cash only. So many places. I had to go to a machine and get cash out like an animal.
That being said, I think here we can have some understanding. Because Germans are pretty... They are not good with paper trails.
I really, really actually love the German approach to privacy.
Yeah.
Like, they are very cautious about things like Google Street View, right? And being able to pay with cash is traceless.
Google generally, I guess.
Right.
And again, we can thank the Germans for... being one of those who forces companies like Facebook and Google to, yeah, at least give the appearance of not just consuming everything about you.
Right. I cannot think of another country who is holding companies like this to account on privacy. I think they're doing an amazing job there. And I get that the cash thing is part of that, but... I had become accustomed, so I use a lot of cash in the UK. It's very, very commonly used there. I was perhaps more of a cash user there than a lot of people. And I barely handle cash in Norway anymore. Like, I've just stopped. Everything just functions with plastic or Vipps, which is mobile payment. And I was really kind of... I was quite inconvenienced by having to go and get cash if I had run out in Germany. And I think that's what I noticed, was the inconvenience. It's not the principle.
In Norway, we even have the conversation of just quitting cash altogether.
Are there people that would disenfranchise?
What do you mean?
Other people in Norway, in you know, who are able to pay for things currently with cash, but would not be able to buy things if cash went away. For example, because they struggle to have a bank account because they're homeless or...
I don't think so. Because if you want to receive welfare money or something, you will have to have a bank account.
Are there not people who are totally outside the system?
Sure, there is, but yeah.
Well, they deserve to be able to buy food too.
But not like that. I think more if they have... It's more a matter of choice or you are... a drug dealer or something?
I'm not a drug dealer. I just want to state that for the record.
I hope I don't come off as a bit naive here, but I'm pretty sure that... Yeah, if you want to have a bank account, you will have a bank account in Norway.
I don't know, genuinely. I'm interested in the Norwegian attitude now about the traceability, because we talked about Germans not being great on paper trails, which I guess is like a flip side of caring a lot about privacy. And I now wonder what the Norwegian attitude to having all your transactions very much in the system is. Because I quite enjoyed in the UK paying with cash sometimes, not because I was buying anything illegal, but just like I like the fact that that's not really in a system. It's not known about me. I can't say that here.
We haven't had the same history with surveillance as Germany.
Or the UK. You've been to London, right? You've seen the video cameras on the streets everywhere, right?
And so it's pretty much a non-stance. I don't think many people think so much about it.
You think they should?
Yeah, of course. You should always think about your personal information and data. But also, we have a pretty active data protection agency in Norway. And they will make a fuss if you put up a video camera in a public spot or something.
There seem to be quite a lot of video cameras in public spots. I see quite often notices that say that an area is being filmed or surveilled or is on, you know, some form of...
Yeah.
And I think it usually applies to a private building in the region. Well, not always, but like I don't mean like where people live. I mean like it feels like the cameras and stuff were put there by, say it's a bank or something like that. But they often encroach on public spaces, right? Because it's the area around that building.
Yeah.
But I haven't really got a good feel yet for where this happens and where it doesn't.
Well, it is pretty common to have video surveillance from everything to shops to banks, of course, and so on.
Public stations, like the railway station?
Interesting. I'm not sure.
Me neither. I'm just reminded that where my mum grew up, in what was at that time Czechoslovakia, there were loudspeakers in the street that used to play when I was a kid. They were still going under the communists before the revolution. And every afternoon at maybe like 2 o'clock or something, they play music for, I don't know, maybe half an hour or something like that. And I think they were maybe used occasionally for like other announcements from the sort of municipality. But it was like, here is this broadcast channel that you don't have any choice in, that is in your street, that takes up all the space because this is the government speaking, or this is the kind of, you know, the organs of power speaking. Mm. I'd forgotten about that, but is that thinkable? It seems to me to be a little bit similar to having CCTV cameras everywhere. Though that's Reed, and the other thing was Wright, but...
If that would fly in Norway?
Yeah, I'm just interested, like, by your reaction to that. Does it sound weird?
Yeah.
What's it sound like?
Well, it sounds like... It sounds a bit Big Brother-ish.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hi, communism.
And this is this, I guess, the somewhat strange thing about Norway, because on the one hand we are a pretty socialist country, on the other hand we're also a liberal country in that we don't want the government in our homes. There are such a sort of an oppositional thing.
I don't going like on. Yeah. A nice way of framing this, I guess, is the conversation that happens in the US about big government and small government, right? Like, yeah. Irrespective of where you stand, it's possible to say I'm, you know, like right wing or centrist or left wing or whatever, and I believe in big government or small government. And so small government plus conservative, not conservative, but like plus Republican is libertarian, right? So you can kind of plot it on a 2x2 axis, which is like one of my favorite things in the world, is 2x2 matrices of things, however arbitrary. But yeah, so, yeah, I guess Norway is like hardcore socialist, but also more small government. Mm.
Because
and yeah, well, go on.
Yeah, because especially under the Cold War, the government kept track on especially communists.
Of course.
So yeah, we had the folders, right? So there were some... I guess, surveillance of certain people in certain political stances going on. But afterwards, these folders, as we call them, they had to be released to the people so they could see what had been recorded about them and so on. And it was quite a controversy that the government had done this.
Right. Was it a wide surveillance net, or was it relatively few people?
I think the latter.
Hmm.
Because the communist movement in Norway weren't that large.
Well,
I weird.
Mean, it's not that large a country to begin with, right?
Yeah. It's this tiny country, almost hidden in the Europe. I have to practice British guy.
I think so. A thing that one of our colleagues pointed out about tiny country, it might be tiny population-wise, it's not tiny length-wise. So we flew, our office anyway, flew from Oslo to Berlin and back again. And where my colleague is from at the other end of Norway from Oslo is further away from Oslo than we went to go to Berlin. It would be like flying to Rome for him to go home in the other direction.
Yeah, this is a pretty common geography example or something in elementary school. So if you put a pin in Kristiansand,
as many have considered,
and this is the one of the most southern cities in Norway, and if you put a pin on it and flips Norway around, I guess the north point will be in the vicinity of Rome.
Right, or the Mediterranean or something.
Yeah. Depends on your map projection, though. No, okay, but yeah, something like that. So, yeah, it's a pretty long country and pretty narrow.
But broad-minded.
You be the judge.
But that was a very non-committal response. I expected I expected more. You don't think Norway's broad-minded?
Me saying that you be the judge is pretty broad-minded, isn't it?
Yeah. It was just the expression on your face while you said it.
Cultural pick of the week. I'm done with Germany now. Let's never mention Germany again. No, I'm just kidding.
I was going to say, then cultural pick of the week is going to have to end up in the bin this week. What was your cultural pick?
We saw a movie in Berlin, because Berlin is a large film city with lots of independent cinemas, and one of the independent cinemas is run by a Norwegian guy. Not the Norwegian guy, a Norwegian guy. Il Kino. And in that cinema, we watch a movie called Victoria.
Which is called A Night in Berlin in English, it turns out. Or One Night in Berlin, possibly. I'm not sure which.
We have to return to translating movie titles. But anywho. So this, yeah, it is indeed A Night in Berlin. And it's pretty easy to spoil, so I will refrain from doing that. But
thank you.
It is about a Spanish girl in Berlin. I'm not sure if she actually is an exchange student, but that doesn't matter so much. And about one of her nights in Berlin. And this perhaps doesn't sound that interesting on the face of it, but the cinematography will perhaps pique some interest, because it is a 2.5 hour filmed in one take. No cuts.
I should correct you. One shot.
One shot. Three takes.
Right.
Yeah. One shot. Yeah. Which made for a pretty intense movie experience. And you bailed this movie, so you haven't seen it, right?
I have deep regrets about not seeing this. I went and I ate really good Mexican food instead, and I don't regret that at all. But I am sorry that I didn't go to the cinema, because it sounded really interesting.
It was. So you have to watch that. And I would be amiss if I didn't mention that the person behind the camera, he were a Norwegian person. So German-Norwegian, I guess Spanish collaboration there.
Y'all are everywhere. How are there enough Norwegians in the world to like infiltrate all of these places?
You will discover this after the initiation ceremony.
Oh, good Lord.
Where we will give you the secret to the Norwegian cultural dominance.
I've just clocked. Norway is not actually, like, the secret, the big secret is that, Norway is only 5 million people. No, it's 5 million people left of a country of 350 million who all emigrated and have now secretly infiltrated the rest of the world, including Berlin. Your secret is out.
Yeah, and this episode can never be released.
Oh, for the love of God, can we please ship something? Please, that just one episode, that's all I'm asking.
I guess we have to bleep that out then. Perhaps you can bleep it out with your cultural pick of the week.
Right. My cultural pick of the week, I feel a little bit backward for not knowing about this before, but when we got to Berlin, I was walking around a lot, and because it's a lovely city to walk around, and I kept seeing this picture, this album being advertised, and it was for a band called Die Totenhosen, and I'd never heard of them before, but they're a punk band, and they go way, way back, and they're still putting out records, implausibly. Despite some fairly punk-sounding behaviour historically, they're still alive enough to be and together enough to be still releasing music, which is cool. I had a bit of a listen. I thought it was really fun, actually. I haven't dug up their old stuff yet. I was just having a listen to the new album. But it was sort of more eclectic than punk makes it sound, perhaps. It seems like they've had a bit of fun mixing genres and stuff like that. And the more the week went on, the more I saw this poster around everywhere. So they've just... their marketing people have clearly spent a lot of money, but I guess Berlin is smack bang in the middle of their kind of geographic demographic for advertising too. I would say it's probably a very punk-friendly city, and they seem exactly like the kind of thing that would go down well there. I should say also, while I was walking around, I saw a lot of posters for bands who are going to play. Nick Cave and the Bad Seeds are playing, inevitably, in Berlin at some point, but many, many other bands as well, big bands. It's clearly a huge music city in ways that I've perhaps not appreciated before.
Cool.
You knew about Die Totenhosen. Of course you did.
Everyone does.
Well, apparently, but I'm late to that party.
It's time for the weekly mouthful.
Mm-hmm. Hard to swallow.
Yours.
I had so many good words. Most of them were just things like destinations on the fronts of buses, like Schmöckwitz, which is just fun to say. And I was a bit torn, really. I really want the word Oberammergaugeister Beschwerliner, because it's just so much fun to say, which is several female exorcists from Oberammergau. Oh, just so much fun to say. But the other new word for me was actually Norwegian, which is ventepils. And ventepils is a pils, so a pilsner, a beer, that you drink while you're waiting for something to happen. And I found out about this because we were all amassing in the foyer in the hotel in Berlin. We were about to go somewhere, really, we should have left already. And some of our colleagues are just like, I'll just get a quick beer at the bar while we wait for, I guess, more people to come. You know, this was going to take 5 minutes, but they're like, I'll just get a quick ventepils in while we wait, a waiting beer. And I thought that was amusing.
And I guess now I will make an opportunity for you to make a Venn diagram. Isn't that exciting?
A Venta diagram?
Yeah.
That's the diagram I wait while I'm waiting for the main diagram.
Yeah, exactly.
Because it was a verb wrong in that sense, but we'll get
my
there.
My words of the week are... comes sort of the two words you can combine with ventepils. Both in meaning and in semantics, I guess. So the first one is kjørepils.
Just sounds so irresponsible.
It is. And I have mentioned that Norwegians are generally good with or not bad with drinking and driving. At least in comparison to certain other large nations having a buffoon as a president and so on. And it is the beer you can have to become a better driver, the one beer. Because I think if you drink one beer and at least wait for an hour or two, you are pretty much good to drive in terms of the legal stuff.
How often do people wait that hour or two, though?
I don't know, honestly, but yeah.
It does seem very much not in the spirit of, no pun intended, sorry, of that kind of very low tolerance that Norwegians have for drink driving.
Yeah, and it is always said with a bit of guilt. And sort of.
But they do it anyway.
Yeah, it's sort of, haha, I'm bad now.
Oh, that's really Catholic, is to like, oh, yeah, I'm sorry, I've just done kind of, you know, I've just done this wrong thing, and I'm going to declare it as a wrong thing that I did, but I've done it. I'll do it again tomorrow, too.
And the second word is ventepulsa.
The waiting sausage. Waiting movie. Hot dog, right?
That sounds also like a German movie. But, yeah, when you're having a barbecue, it's not uncommon that you will barbecue a pretty large piece of meat that takes a while.
Are we talking an entire reindeer?
Yeah, some a teren or a rib side or whatever. And because you are hungry, you want some instant satisfaction or semi-instant satisfaction, and a ventepulse will do that for you. Because sausages grill faster, I guess.
Right. Yeah. It's the staging dinner for your kind of main dinner.
The appetizer.
We got to talk about German portion sizes.
You can feed a country with those portions.
I know.
I ordered the kleine platte, the small plate, and that was larger than most Norwegian plates.
What was it a plate of?
Potatoes and pork and fat and mustard.
Was it good? It sounds good, actually.
It was okay.
Okay.
Yeah.
It sounds quite stodgy, but not bad. I ordered a burrito, and based on the price, I expected something, you know, burrito-sized. And this thing arrived that covered the plate. And it was just cheese and chicken. Not even any rice. It was basically just cheese and chicken in this enormous wrap. And I thought I couldn't finish it. I nearly gave it to our colleagues to finish. But then after about half an hour, I kind of plucked up the courage to finish it. But good Lord, the portion sizes in Germany. That was not an exception either.
And I will just insert here a YouTube video of a hamster eating a burrito.
Thanks. Germany as the America of Europe, discuss. With, like, I guess, recent historical exception. Or not, if you want to go that route.
Could you repeat that? What did you
say?
Yeah,
Germany is the America of Europe. Like, it's kind of big portion sizes, kind of federal structure.
It's more the Finland of Scandinavia.
What? Oh, no.
Of North. Nah, forget it.
I'm so confused.
I have nothing.
Okay.
I was about to ask you where people can find my video of the hamster eating a burrito, which I just Googled, hence why I missed your question. But
they can go to smalldifferences.fireside.fm and there they will find the video of the hamster eating a burrito and many other lovely things, all the things that we've talked about in the show. If it lives on the web, we'll link to it.
And I guess next week when Scum returns, it will somehow feature a hamster eating a burrito.
I guess
so. This is my prediction.
Or a reference to Germany. Maybe both. I have to ask you for your hot take on Scum. There has been some discussion about whether it's as good this season as previously. You have a thought you'd like to commit to the record?
About Scum and the season? No, not really.
Okay.
Not yet.
Okay.
Let's wait for the season to end, I guess.
How much more is there, by the way? I haven't, because I watched the previous seasons as episodes, I don't have a very good kind of grasp of how far through we are.
I think we are somewhere in the middle. Okay. Perhaps a bit past it.
Oh gosh, if we're past it, okay. Past the halfway, they've got a lot of work to do.
And this is the thing. It's a bit slow, but it's building up for something. But
I get that.
And we will see.
Okay, you just gave me your opinion, whether you meant to or not.
Yeah, I know. But I have faith in the that it will satisfy. Yeah.
Cool.
Did we mention the links?
I did the website.
Yeah. Tell your friends, I guess.
Wait, tell about what? About the podcast.
Would be really helpful if you could tell all your friends about the podcast and give us stars and ratings in iTunes and so on, podcast, CEO, ratings, growth hacking. Please give us anything. Letters, tweets, I don't know. Contact form.
Good that we don't sound desperate. Yeah, there is a contact form on the website, actually. If you want to, if you're not sure how to get in touch with us, use that. I think Nick gets email when that happens.
We need self-validation.
Is that not why we're doing this right now? Talking to each other at 8 in the morning for no other good reason. External validation. We need more external validation.
Yeah.
And validate more research. Us. Please.
Validieren. Validieren uns. Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, we will return next week with the 17th of May episode.
Right, National Day, Norwegian National Day.
Which were yesterday.
Yeah.
So but if you want to call
record,
in
when we record, it will
be
the day after yesterday.
Yeah, so if you want to call in for that episode, you should have done that last week.
Yeah, or next week?
No, I'm not sure.
Yeah, me neither. Danke. Danke.
Good work.
Uns zugehören habt.
Danke für das Hörte vor.
Danke für das Hörte vor. Hade Frau.